Beers with Chad. Hey everybody, what is up? Chad Wilson Smith here, bringing you episode number 13 of Beers with Chad. Today, drinking an IPA from Angel City Brewery right here in the downtown Los Angeles Arts District. Apologies for being kind of sweaty while I'm doing this because I've been moving into my new house all day. I'm still in my old house at the moment, but it's pretty barren with furniture. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm not a very handy person, but did the best I can disassembling, assembling things throughout the day. So a little bit worn out. You know, I really, the only labor I can do is lifting weights and typing on the computer, and that's not very challenging. So this week, the Jug Life, if you haven't checked out the regular episode of the Jug Life, I decided to post a classic episode, our episode on transgender athletes. And that was in light of two things. One was I watched a show on Netflix called Sports on Fire, which is a Canadian show from HBO Canada, and a mini sports documentaries, and they had one called She Runs Like a Man. And She Runs Like a Man was about intersex athletes, hyperandrogynous and SRY gene athletes. And that's very much what our podcast was about. And then right after that, I saw a new ruling by the IAAF, the International Governing Body for Track and Field. And in that, they talked about regulating the testosterone levels of these intersex athletes. Caster Semenya probably being the most notable current athlete. Also that we talk about in the podcast and that's on Sports on Fire is, I believe her name is Maria Martinez Patino, who was sort of the watermark case for this with gender testing and all that stuff. So it's an older episode, episode number 49. And if you haven't checked it out, it's posted this week. It's got a new intro on it. So I talk some about the show and the new ruling and add some context to that. And in the episode, we discuss both intersex athletes, SRY gene hyperandrogenism, and transgender athletes like Laurel Hubbard, a male transitioning to live as a female and competing as a female. And in the podcast, we talk about, draw a pretty distinct distinction between those two things. And the intersex hyperandrogenism is a much more complex, nuanced issue where Laurel Hubbard, living 35 years of her life, you know, as a biological male and deciding to compete as a female, that I think is a bit more cut and dry and should not be allowed. But go check out the episode, give it a listen, leave us comments, all that kind of stuff. Please have a respectful discussion about it, but it is something, you know, that's gonna be brought up more and more in the sporting world. So I think it's important to kind of be informed and establish an opinion about it. This week's episode of The Jug Life and Beers with Chad is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club, which luckily has stuff besides just razors. They have the lavender body wash is very nice, smells very nice. These things called One Wipe Charlies, if you need to get your tush particularly clean, and you can check them out and get a little starter pack for a steep discount by visiting dollarshaveclub.com/juglife. And a new sponsor, Purple, Purple Mattress, and Purple Mattress is got some proprietary technology. You know, this cushions your body in a unique way. They make mattresses and seat cushions and all kind of stuff, helping you sleep better through science. And you can check them out at purple.com/juglife. So if you follow me on the social medias, which you probably do because you're watching or listening to this, you may have seen that this week I was named, last week IBJJF Novice Worlds, White Belt Worlds, came in second in the Ultra Heavies. Thankfully, yeah, it was a good tournament. Some positives, some negatives to take away from it. Thank you very much to my coach, Brent Littell, my professor, Philippe de la Monica, all my training partners at Gracie Baja HQ in Irvine, California. Congrats to my main training partner, Austin Baker, who was the runner-up, the silver medalist at Purple Belt, a very, very competitive division in the Ultra Heavies. He went 4-1. So cool stuff, some things for me to build on, some mistakes. Mistakes, of course, that white belts are gonna make. I felt kind of funny with it because I got posted by Flow Grappling in my first match. I finished the guy by Americana, and all the jiu-jitsu people are laughing because, oh, big heavy guy doing Americana, like, what a surprise. Well, if it wasn't a surprise, why was I still able to do it? You know, he should have seen it coming. But I walked off the mat, and the camera guy for Flow Grappling came over and said, I'm a really big fan, we're going to post your video. And Flow Grappling has some, 250,000, 300,000 followers on Instagram, and they were live streaming the event. So they posted this video, and people told me, oh, they're like, this is the only time a white belt has ever been posted by Flow Grappling. And then Dr. Mike posted it, and some other jiu-jitsu sites got a hold of it. So I was seeing it was more popular than any video clip I've ever posted for my powerlifting, something I worked years and years at, as opposed to just a few months here in jiu-jitsu. So that was kind of funny, and I'm telling people I feel like the Anna Kournikova of jiu-jitsu, because I'm not actually very good, and I haven't won anything, but I'm still very popular. Probably they just want me for my body and my good looks. But it was a fun competition and fun to get some publicity there. And hopefully, as I improve, I can better earn that recognition and not just be the world's most famous white belt. So, back to the point that I was getting to before. If you follow me on social media, you probably saw that I was posted, named one of the 100 most influential people in health and fitness by the greatest, GREATIST.com. And this was not a list that I was very familiar with. And in some ways it was kind of a weird, conflicting thing. You know, of course it's nice to get recognized for what I do and hopefully for some new people to find out about me. But as I'm going through the list, and I was number 94. There's some really, really popular people on this list. Some people that I have a ton of respect for, like Martin Rooney. Some people who are tremendously popular, like The Rock was number 5. And, great athletes like Matty Rogers. And then there were people who it was just like, what the fuck is on this list? Whether that's the Dr. Phil or, congrats to Meg Squats, Meg Gallagher for being on there. But other doctor, other what the fuck people, Dr. Oz, Oprah, all kind of people like that. And when I posted, some of my followers and fans were kind of like upset about the list, about people on the list. And in a lot of ways, it's understandable. Where people, that maybe they had a right to be upset, and the criteria for it has to be understood. And taking it from the page where it's posted, and this is the greatest 100, greatest.com, 100 most influential people in health and fitness. And they said that the things that they took into account, that they were nominated, 300 individuals nominated by the Greatest Staff and Ambassador Network. So thanks to whoever nominated me. I'm kind of surprised that I have fans at that site. I don't really seem like I'd be their type, but thank you to whoever nominated me. And then that they created a scoring system based on growth of followers on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, number of Google News mentions, number of products created, including starring TV and film roles, brand partnerships, and an estimate of how much each person's career focuses on fitness and health. So that's their criteria, and you can complain about that and do whatever you want. You know, if it's just a measure of how great someone's reach is, so how many people they influence in terms of being the most influential, I doubt that I'm in the top 100 of that. And I think where people get upset is that they don't feel that those are the 100 people that people should be listening to. And it's not the list of the 100, you know, smartest people in health and fitness, or the 100 people you should be listening to in health and fitness. It's the 100 most influential, not the 100 people you should be influenced by. So their criteria is what their criteria is, and I'm thankful, you know, for being included in that, and hopefully some people who, you know, normally wouldn't have Juggernaut cross their paths, or a plus-sized, advanced weight, you know, ruggedly handsome gentleman like myself is not normal, their normal cup of tea or what pops up in their Instagram Explore page. Maybe they can find our YouTube and our articles and books and learn something useful. And, you know, I don't want to tear down people on the list, though I'm sure there are some worthy of tearing down. What I do want to talk about is this sort of interesting dilemma that you get into as a content creator, a person in the fitness industry, and someone who's trying to share the best information possible and help as many people as possible, genuinely help as many people as possible, and get that information to them. And the dilemma that arises are lists like this, or the people on the list like this, that I do not deem, and you may not deem, worth listening to. And this list has such big stars on it that, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to get to do a collaboration with Oprah, you know, or Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil. And probably after they hear the things I say on here, then they would never want to, then they would never have me on. So I'm blowing my shot right away. But even within the smaller world of the more serious fitness industry, powerlifting coaches, weightlifting coaches, people in the peripheral of those communities, there is what I would say is this exchange of credibility. So anytime, you know, I choose to do a podcast or select guests to be on the Jug Life podcast, I am lending that person some of my credibility. And whether I come out and say it or not, we are giving them a de facto stamp of approval that we not necessarily agree with everything that they say, but, you know, that we respect where they're coming from, that we think that they're thoughtful about what they do, that they're genuine and well-intentioned in what they're saying and the information that they're trying to share. And that becomes a very tricky place. And I think everyone, you know, who does a podcast and who does YouTube and you know, different collaborations and all that kind of stuff, all have their own line that they draw regarding this. They have their own line of someone that they don't agree with, but that has a big reach, and there's some sort of trade-off there of, all right, is it worth it to me to do business with this person to some degree, you know, maybe not a formal business deal, but to go on their podcast or to have them on mine or to collaborate YouTube, is it worth it for me to lend them that amount of my credibility for what I get in return? And it's very important, I think, as a viewer and a consumer, to understand that this trade-off is happening for everybody. All right, everyone is going through this, especially everyone who's popular enough to get access to more and more popular people. And, you know, to not to paint with too broad of a brush, but more often than not, the more popular people maybe are sharing more diluted information, more easily digestible information. And oftentimes in that easily digestible information, you run into things that are, you know, exactly as I said, diluted. They are losing the true spirit and quality of the message, and how far they get away from that, and being able to make the message digestible without diluting it and without overly oversimplifying it, I think is a great skill. And this is something that, you know, I talk about with Max and Marissa, Dr. Quinn, you know, Mike Isratel, Nick Shaw, the people that I as Juggernaut and choose to do a lot of business with and a lot of collaborations with, that we recognize that there are people in the industry, highly respected people, people who have lots of good things to say, but that they maybe have arisen to greater and greater popularity through making broader, more blanket statements and that kind of thing, that's very easily digestible. This hurts, do that. This is the best exercise. This is the best, you know, this is how many times a week you should squat. You know, very dogmatic black and white statements about training. And I am very mindful, and the majority of people who I associate with are very mindful about avoiding that. And while we may give explanations to things that take 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes to explain, rather than just, you know, this hurts, do that, this is the best way to squat, or whatever, you know, overarching statement that can be made, some people, they don't want to take that extra step. They don't want to dive a little deeper with what they're doing. Or they want to, you know, and I understand that, but the thing that you really need to be wary of is people who aren't just maybe oversimplifying things, but people who are, you know, pushing gimmicks, pushing simplistic thinking about training. And there's many, many more of them out there than I'd like to think there were. And I often find myself having to fight being disillusioned by the industry, and seeing people rise to fame and success, you know, monetary success and all this kind of thing by doing that. And I always wonder, especially when it's, you know, that there are people that I know that do this or that I'm more acquainted with, and wonder when they're doing it, if people do it intentionally, like they know that what they're doing is kind of bullshit and that they do it anyways, or they're not, don't have a great enough understanding of training and the principles and stuff to be able to make that distinction for themselves, and they're, you know, doing collaborations and having people on their podcasts or whatever with people that they don't realize are totally full of shit. They're just doing it because they're popular. And I'm not sure which one is worse. You know, if the person who's just ignorant to what they're doing, if is that worse, or the person who's aware of it and chooses not to do it, you know, not to promote the best information or share the best information anyways. And you, if you listen to The Jug Life, you've heard Max and I talk about this before, about what is an expert. And you know, in terms of strength and fitness, I think there's three main criteria you want to look at for what constitutes someone being an expert. And that would be, you know, what have they accomplished themselves as an athlete? What have they produced as a coach? And how are they educated, you know, formally or informally? And hopefully you're going to have someone who has who's checking at least two of those three boxes. And it's totally possible that someone just has great genetics and they don't understand training and they don't understand how to help you, even though they were tremendously successful as an athlete themselves. probably less likely that a coach is able to be very, very successful without having a great understanding of training, though maybe they're just a great recruiter. Maybe the way that they present their athletes' success is less than genuine. One of my favorites in that regard is people saying, you know, nationally ranked lifters, and it's like, nationally ranked, but what are you ranked? Like, if you've done a meet, you're nationally ranked. So you could say, oh, I coach 100 nationally ranked lifters, and they're ranked, you know, 10,999, you know, they're very lowly ranked. And then the education part, you have people who, you know, they can read every journal article and every study and have a great understanding of that, but have never put it into practice. So that's why you want to be looking for at least two out of three. And if you can find three out of three, that's even better. And I encourage you to critically assess the people that you learn from. You know, if and think about this criteria. Maybe even write it down. You know, who is the best person that this coach has coached? Is it just one person? Is it multiple people? You know, does the person that this person coaches, do the people that they coach actually do this in meets, or do they just do it on Instagram? You know, that's a big distinction, especially I think in the world of powerlifting and weightlifting. If you have someone who's just making big lifts on Instagram and then they never do meets, or they don't, you know, if they never do meets, particularly if they're doing weightlifting stuff and they don't do meets, be very mindful that the reason they're not doing meets is because they can't pass a drug test. And I think there's some level of being implicit in being an American weightlifter that you are drug free. So someone being disingenuous in that regard, whether it's, you know, actually saying that they are drug free and then not doing meets and getting drug tested to prove it, or, you know, they don't ever say it one way or the other. They just lift and don't do meets. Take that with many, many grains of salt. You know, if it's someone who's coaching, you know, if someone's coaching those people and they're not doing meets, but they're talking about their results in a way that are like, you know, this person is exceeding blah 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 record, or is ready to beat this record. I can't wait to see him do it in a meet. Be very mindful of that. If they have one person who's great, yeah, I mean, that's an accomplishment, but maybe that one person that they're coaching is just, you know, fantastically talented and they would succeed with a lot of different stuff. If they were a great athlete themselves, of course, you know, that can be just a product of genetics. But critically think about this, you know, and ask them. You don't have to be a dick and ask them, but asking a coach the question, like, who's the best person you've ever coached? It's not like a fucking complicated question, and it shouldn't be. If they have good people, they shouldn't be offended by it. You know, certainly depending on the tone that you ask it in. You know, so for myself, I have my own powerlifting accomplishments: 23, 25 total in reps, 970 squat. You know, at the time, I think it was the 10th highest total of all time of people I've coached. Marissa Inda, you know, and I think a lot of the people that I coach, people want to say, oh, they were already strong. You know, he didn't really do anything. When I started coaching, Marissa was right after the 2014 Worlds. She was already a world-level competitor, yes. At that meet, she did 270, 176, 341. Next week in Canada, as she defends her IPF world title, she's likely to do over 330 in the squat, 215 in the bench, and, you know, 413, 419 in the deadlift. What she did there in 2014, those are now about her 8 rep maxes. So that's a big difference. Andy Huang, I started coaching Andy, he had an 1,800 pound total. Yeah, now he's told 2,193 in sleeves, 2,226 in wraps. Brandon Allen, he started out, it was 2,210 or 2,215. Then I started coaching him, he went 2,303. He just went 2,386. We're gonna go well into the 2,400s in Australia. You know, Kristen Dunsmore, over 100 pounds on her total. Walker Bradshaw, over 250-ish pounds on his total. And I could go on and on. ask them that question. It shouldn't be an offensive thing for a coach to say, these are the best people that I've coached. If they can't say it, what's going on there? And then the education part of things, you know, the formal education part, I don't have a formal education in training. My degree is in history, all right? I think that from watching and reading our content, you can tell that I've taken the time to educate myself about the more scientific side of what we're doing. So be mindful of that. You know, what have they done as an athlete? What have they produced as a coach? How are they educated? Understand that it is a business. If people you follow are lending their credibility through collaborations with people that you don't respect, or people that that maybe don't check off two or three of these boxes, but they have a ton of followers, that's a decision for you to make if that's a big deal to you or not. I can tell you that the gatekeeper of the Juggernaut brand, I put a ton of thought into who we collaborate with. You know, are there people that are less accomplished as athletes? Certainly. You know, do I make the decision of trade-offs of likes and, you know, of reach and credibility? Certainly. Everyone does that. Do I have people on who I'm personally friends with? Yes, definitely, of course. You know, everyone's gonna do that. But as people get a little bit more loose with those relationships, I'm not telling you not to listen to those people, but I'm just telling you to consider it as you consider the sources that you're learning from. That's about it for my rant for today. Again, drinking the Angel City Brewery IPA. This upcoming weekend, couple spots left. I'll be in Vancouver at Dynasty Gym for a powerlifting clinic. A few weeks after that, Max and I will be on June 22nd, Squat Clinic and Jug Life Live at Arlington Strength in Arlington, Texas. The next day, we'll be at D-Town CrossFit for a free snatch clinic and Jug Life Live. Then in August 19th, we're going to Long Island for the Juggernaut Performance Summit. That's myself, Max, Quinn, Dr. Mike, Dr. James, everything you need to learn all in one day from people, that check 2 to 3 boxes there without a doubt. So be on the, you know, you can sign up for any of those at events.jts or the events section of store.jtsstrength.com. If you like the podcast, go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review, write us something funny or nice. Always appreciate that. You can find The Jug Life on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and thejuglife.com. This week's episodes are brought to you by Dollar Shave Club, dollarshaveclub.com/juglife, and Purple. Purple mattresses bring you better sleep through science. Check them out at purple.com/juglife. I'm Chad Wesley Smith, at Chad Wesley Smith and at Juggernaut Training on Facebook and Instagram, filling up your news feed all day. This was another episode of Beers with Chad. Thanks for watching or listening. Cheers, and we'll see you next week.